I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I've been in my town for about 13 years. And we moved up here with our daughter, first daughter at the time was about 18 months old. And we moved up here from Los Angeles. So it was you know, a big change, because a desired change, but a big change, because we're living, you know, it's a small town. So, and we're living rural in a small town. So here's set the stage. Our first winter, we lose electricity. No big deal. Big storm, lose electricity. We light a few candles until we realize, without having thought this through, that when you live rural and you're on a well, when you lose electricity, you lose the water pump. When you lose the water pump, you lose the water. So there we are with our 18-month-old daughter, and we have no water pressure, no toilets, no showers, no sink. We had friends in town. We had to go down to like a motel to shower. So after that, we decided probably a good idea to get a generator. That way, when we lose electricity, we can at least turn a generator on and get enough things, like at least water and maybe, you know, whatever, just a few things that would work. Got it? Okay, good. Meanwhile, we put some solar panels on the house. So about that time, we were doing the electricity for the solar panels. So we thought, perfect time, let's hook up the whole generator thing. So we got this portable generator, and you turn it on, blah, blah, blah. It worked fine. We did the tests, fine. But this is way past the rainy season, and now we're kind of hanging out, and we've got this generator. Well, along comes the next time that we have a need, and it's the following winter, and we've got the generator finally. And we have Christmas lights up, because we have Christmas lights up now. We do the decorations a little bit. Got the tree, got the lights outside of the house. And we're in a storm, and we got the lights on, and they're on timers, as Christmas lights are. And the electricity goes out. Okay, fine. But we're prepared. We've got a generator. It's fantastic. So electricity goes out. We kind of hang for a few hours. There's no big rush. The refrigerators are closed. And at some point, I go, you know what? I should probably turn the generator on to make sure that we don't lose the stuff in the fridge. So I go downstairs and I start the generator, and we turn on some, the refrigerator works, so on and so forth. What I didn't do the math on at that time was that the timers that the lights were on were also off during that time. So when I flipped the generator back on, they were delayed by however many hours that was. No big deal. Except about 3 a.m, I wake up and to go to the bathroom, if you must know, you asked. And I see a bluish glow in my living room. And I go, what is going on out there? So I walk out to the living room. Well, when the timer was set properly, it was to turn off at about 10 o'clock, 9:30 at night. Because it got delayed, it was like 2 a.m. and all of our Christmas lights are on. So now I'm going to set the stage of the neighborhood. We're one of the only houses that has a generator. Most houses don't, and some that do, it's minimal. Like ours is, so that we don't have street lights in our neighborhood. Like when it's dark at night and there's no electricity, it is pitch. I mean, pitch as black as a pitch. It's a pitch black street. It's nothing. No lights when there's no electricity. No lights. Most people have done generators. So here we are, moving up to the town from the big city. We've been here less than a year, or about a year, maybe at tops. And not only do we have a generator, but we're flaunting it. At 2 a.m. with all of our Christmas lights on. I can only imagine what our neighbors were thinking. Boy, those guys are assholes from Los Angeles. They're just sticking it to us. They've got toilets, but you know what? They're gonna run the Christmas lights at 2 a.m. too, for no reason at all. And that, folks, it was my Christmas story. Christmas story. We've become more rural since then. Okay? Just, you know, just kind of a little more country, okay? And we do a lot of whittling, and I chew tobacco. I either go with the Red Man, the chew, or I go with the dip. It depends on the day. I don't know. I just let my feelings go, and whatever I feel like doing, I do. Couple quickie things. If you guys were following a couple episodes ago with the social media, I went a step further. Sorry, but I did. Strava. Sorry, I had to bid you adieu. I bid you adieu, Strava. Wasn't using you much these days. Got a little burnt on it, the whole thing. So I deleted that, and I deleted LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn, no love lost there. No, Strava, you know, I have a soft spot for it. I like that it's positive and people like are cheering. I just can't. I would think like, oh, I should probably get, and I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. So it's gone. LinkedIn. Good night, John. Just don't let the door hit in the ass on the way out, Strava. Not LinkedIn. Sorry. They're gone. Okay. Now, the holidays are approaching. If you're listening to this episode around the time I posted it, the holidays are on their way in the United States and elsewhere. I said no announcements, and I know what, and I really don't. I'm just saying my books, they make a good gifts. If you know any parents, and I know that they're few and far between, but if you know any parents that are trying to raise a healthy family, you might throw them a copy of my Raising Healthy Parents book to just give them the tools to take care of themselves so they can execute the family that they want. That's the message there. Got it? Okay, so that's Raising Healthy Parents. And Approaching the Natural, the old standby. The Philosophy of Health book. I'm just saying, those are good, throw those down. And remember, because I don't usually make announcements at all, read the show notes of these episodes, because that's where I put the information of the speaking engagements and just anything else, links to my website, for instance, if you're not on my mailing list. Like those are, I'm saying this because I'm literally not in any social media now. I guess technically YouTube, if you consider that, but I don't interact with many people via YouTube, so it's I don't think that's my workspace. I'm a creator in that way. I put the work up, and that's how I think of YouTube. So because I'm not doing announcements on YouTube of here's when I'm speaking next, that's in the show notes of these episodes and on my website too, SidGarzaHillman.com. Okay, so that's what that is. It's where it is. Okay, so check the show notes and that's a Vetica. Okay. In addition to the holidays coming up, my birthday is this time every year, coincidentally, as far as I can tell, December 21st. It's the solstice. It's the solstice. Now, I don't want to get, you know, controversial here. But the winter solstice is kind of where it's at. I'm just saying it's where it's at. The whole tree of the Christmas and a lot of the snowy things and the things, that's solstice. That's where that came from. This is solstice. Now, I'm not going to sit here. This would be ridiculous for me to say that all that hullabaloo is to celebrate my birthday. That would be, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say instead that a lot of that is to celebrate my birthday. A lot of the snow and Christmas tree and all those things are about my birthday. But this is a particularly a big one, only because we decided that it was big. And I always try to make that clear that these are, they're made up by us. You guys get that, right? But it doesn't make it less valid. I'm just saying it's not real. It's just real because we made it real. Yes? Okay. I'm glad we had this talk. But I'm turning 50. I'm turning 50 in a mere 3 days. Like 2 days. I'm like Tuesday night, Friday, Thursday at midnight. I'm 50. Now I want to, as an aside, I want to just let you know that one of the many benefits of being bald, and I'm balding technically. My kids are like, you can't grow any hair. I'm like, I can grow hair. I don't because it's a waste of my time. I just shave. What am I gonna do with it? It doesn't go everywhere it needs to go. So I say, if you're not gonna go everywhere you need to go, you don't get to go anywhere. That's the parenting of me and my hair. That's how I handle my hair. If you're not responsible enough to do the job that you were hired to do, you don't get to do that job. You're fired. That's it. I'm shaving you out of the company. But one of the benefits of being bald is that, the disadvantage of being bald is that when I was 40, I kind of looked 50, but the benefit is that when I'm 60, I'm still going to look 50. Bald guys, we kind of just stay where we are. Like, I'm going to be at 70, you'll be like, yeah, I think I was probably 50. I can't tell. There's no gray hair on the guy. I mean, he could either be 19 or 87. I don't know. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. I mean, bald guys unite. Me and Jeff Bezos, you know, we're the two, and Ed Harris. I think there's like three bald guys. I think that's of note. But only one born on December 21st, the solstice. Can I just? One of the things, and this is kind of be an announcement, but it's just not an announcement in the way that I don't, whatever, you done. For my birthday, as a gift to myself, I decided what I was going to do for my 50th birthday was that I was going to call my bandmates down in Los Angeles. They're still there. I've been up here for 13 years. They've been down there still. They might feel a little abandoned. I didn't do it. I love those guys. Love them. It had nothing to do with them. And everything to do with me wanting to get the hell out of Los Angeles really was what that was. And my and Lisa too. The difference between Lisa and me is she just figured, we'll set a plan in motion maybe in a couple years. In my pea brain, it was like, let's do this with no plan at all and do it tomorrow. And that was the tension there. Okay. We're better for it. I'm just saying she's happy up here and so am I. But it has not been without struggle. I'm just saying. So I call my band and I go, I don't call them. I email them because that's what we do now. I email the band. I go, listen, I'm turning 50. I know I still look 40, but I really am. Time has passed. Would you guys be interested in doing a show? One show, one off, one show, boom. And they all said yes. So very exciting and kind of nerve-wracking at the same time. I haven't played live in a few years. I have played live since I moved up here, but not much. And it's been probably 6 years or 7 years. Like, it's been a while, maybe 5 years. But they said yes. And so then I set about the task of booking a show, which brought back quickly the memories of me booking shows in Los Angeles. And just it's a bitch. It's hard to do it because you the club goes, we have this date available. Then you email the band. What about this date? And one of them inevitably, no, I can't do it. I can't do that date. Okay, back to the venue. What else you got? Oh, I got this date. What about the, oh no, that guy can do it, but that guy can't. So on and so forth. A little bit of that happened. We settled on February 10th, 2019. February 10th, Los Angeles, at a bar called the Love Song Bar. And it's all ages show. If you guys are in town, it's free. Just come down. It literally is a reunion show. And just fun. I mean, it's weird, nerve-wracking, right? I gotta kind of relearn some of my songs. We're working on the set list right now. It's getting me my hands on the guitar. Pretty good stuff. I wanted it all ages, by the way, because I'm bringing my kids. You know, I want them to. They want to see it. They're like excited to go, and I didn't want to be like, you guys can't. You can look through the window. That's the best I can offer you. We're going to drive down a few days before. I'm going to rehearse a couple days with the band, the Sid Hillman Quartet, if you were wondering. And you can Google it, Sid Hillman Quartet. We're still, on the net, as it were. And iTunes and all that kind of crap. But so we're going to rehearse a couple times and play a show. Are we going to be underprepared? Yeah. But the hours that I played with these guys, I mean hours. It's like you're married to these guys. I know things about them that I would rather not know, especially going on tour with them, and they about me. I mean, just don't ever call them as character witnesses. No, I'm kidding. Come on. So I wanted to talk a little bit about turning 50 today, and it's not what you might think. Oh, Sid's just going to talk about himself turning 50. I've been thinking about age in general, and of course, I'm thinking about age because it's my 50th birthday, and 50 is a nice round number. You guys know that I like round numbers, but also it's 50, and it sounds old-ish, and it is 50 years. I've been around 50 years, and there's that constant with me. And probably most people who are 50, there's a great movie, by the way, called Liberal Arts. Josh Ratner, I think, is the one writer-director. He was on that show, How I Met Your Mother. But he wrote and directed this film, and it's one of my favorite films. I'm not even joking. It's fantastic. And one of the characters in it is a professor, and I'm going to just brutalize this quote because I didn't look it up, and I meant to, but I just didn't. And this is live. This is a live podcast. There's nothing I can do about it now. He said something like, we're all 19-year-olds pretending to be adults. That's like the secret they don't tell you. And it really is like that for me. My age, it's surprising to me that I'm 50. I think that's a good thing because the age has changed over the years, as you guys know. They always say like 60s, the new 50s, 70s, the new 60s, because for whatever reason, there's just, I'm doing things. I remember my grandparents at like 55, 60, they were, at least in my perception as a kid, just grandparents, like kind of older and they needed assistance or whatever. And now it's like, I had four 70-year-olds cross the finish line of my race most years. I think I've had over 70-year-olds run my race every year, the one I direct, and a bunch of over 60s, busting a 50K on trails. I mean, insane. This woman I know up here, took up ultra running at like 68, ran my race, and now she and her husband do ultras, like multiple ultras per year. And she took it up at 68. I'm going, this is like ridiculous. It's like such a new ball game in a very exciting way. And so part of me is like just the like 50. Wow, 50. But there's so much more that is a benefit in my mind than me going, oh my gosh, it's 50. And I think that the benefit for me over and above all else is experience. I'm thinking about it in context of my practice and how I look back at the 10 years that I've been a certified nutritionist and how I quickly pivoted my approach away from food or to include food very minimally and make it all about the experience and the doing of it, separating away from the knowledge and realizing how while important knowledge is, it's almost in a way to me to live well, knowledge becomes devalued. It's not that I think it's not valuable. Of course I do. But I'm saying it's the experience, the building of experience over time and how that compounds and gets more and more valuable over time. And obviously it's just going to be with age that the benefit of growing older is experience. Somebody at 20 can know more than I know and a ton do, I guarantee it. But there ain't no substitute for living, for doing this. And I remember so clearly my thinking early on as a nutritionist, thinking this is like I can teach. There's not much to teach in terms of what you need to know to eat well. There's way more to know, of course. But like I'm looking at these people, I'm like, I don't need to teach you the down and dirty of amino acids. That's not your bag. You're trying to eat well and move on. In theory, and it was all about like because you have things that you want to do. You want to live well, not for the sake of eating well. You want to eat well for the sake of living well. And it's like, okay, well, what's that really about? Is that a knowledge thing? No. And why I know that is because I've been around a while, and it's kind of a cool thing. It's building. I mean, I talked about this early on, but you know, my approach is helping people build an arsenal of experience. Now, I'm not talking about experiences like travel, but those are experiences. What I'm talking about is the experience of living a life, of living the life you want to live as a, you know, I'll delve real quick into my small steps practice. But when people begin a steps list, it's because they begin on day one acting. It's the action of it. I want them to move out of the knowledge almost immediately because it's like, okay, now you know. Okay, good. Okay, good. Leave it. I mean, use it, but don't try to know more for now. You can try to know more later if you need to, but start acting. I feel like knowledge in a way is devalued with age. Still valuable, I'm just saying that. But it really makes me understand that if I'm hiring somebody who knows everything about something and another person who knows everything about something, but one person has had more experience, I really understand what that means now. I really understand the value of experience, of somebody having gone through failures and mistakes and having done things and understands the intangibles and the unexpected. They've come against up against things that are unexpected, and they've handled them, and now they have not only the experience of having handled it, but they have the confidence of knowing that they've handled it. I feel like as we age, we get more comfortable with the unknown, and that is, to me, at least me personally, and certainly with clients that I've worked with, it is the unknown. And I mean, I just did a YouTube video on, it's called Scare Yourself Thin, on fear. And I think that a lot of what drives people to you know, take better care of themselves, let's say, is this fear. And I think ultimately it's fear of death potentially, but it's fear of the unknown. We want to be able to calculate and know kind of what's coming. And really that's a failed, we kind of fail in that attempt because it's really impossible to know, but we can build our confidence so that we don't have to try to figure out what's coming. We can try to figure out how to be a person who can handle whatever comes because we just don't know, we won't know. And again, on turning 50, I feel like I'm in a much better place now than I was at 40 and better at 40 than I was at 30 and so on and so forth. There's things that I realized, I guess I could try to, you know, be a successful musician at 50. I have no interest in that really in terms of, I mean, it sounds amazing until I think about leaving my family and being on the road again. And I'm like, no, sorry, ain't gonna happen. You know what I mean? So again, I've done it, I experienced it. And because I experienced it again, I have that knowledge of like, man, not for me. That's a pretty liberating place to be. Do I wish I were younger in some respects? I guess, but I don't know, you know? I don't look back and go, I wish I were 30, because if I were 30 right now, I'd still want to have the experience that I have being 50. I wouldn't want to go back to 30 knowing only what I knew at 30. I like knowing what I know now. I like it. I like where I'm at in the way that I see the world more, and I can only imagine potentially that at 60, I'm going to be in an even better place in terms of having 10 years more experience and having gone through whatever I'm going to potentially go through. I don't know. That's the thing. Am I more comfortable with not knowing now than I was 10 years ago? Bet your ass I am more comfortable with that. I am so squarely, and I'm, you know, obviously I'm reading things and I'm informing and I'm learning, but man, do I value it, doing shit. I'm almost all there now. I mean, I really am, like, my brain is all there. I teach, you know, nutrition classes at the Wellness Center, and I like it. But even the teaching of that has shifted over the last few years of like, look, can I just get through this thing in 25 minutes? Now let's spend the rest of the time doing what is truly valuable, which is me helping you in any way I can live this way. Live not my way, but the good life that you walked in the door because you're chasing, which of course you're chasing. You want to live the best life you can. Let me help you get that. And let me help you first by telling you that it's very little to do with the knowledge I just told you. It has something to do with that, but ultimately with whatever you know right now, you got to crack the nut of how to live it. And I'll tell you what, it's exciting. I don't know. It's a good place to be in. I feel like I'm better informed. I haven't, you know, as far as my career goes, in terms of like the material success or the worldly success that I hoped I'd have, but no, I'm not there. You know, my new book, the one I'm so proud of, Raising Healthy Parents, but by all standards, it was a failure. My first book, Approach to the Natural, has been great, like blew the publisher away. He was like, oh, that book's sold more than we ever thought it would. I was like, yeah, I know. Raising Healthy Parents, dud. And yet I'm prouder of that book than I was of the first book. I don't know how to handle that except to say, again, with age, I'm proud of the book. I mean, I can't imagine if I had tried to write a hit book and it was a hack, how bummed I would be right now. I'd be like, I did all that to try to make it popular and it still failed. That would suck. Whereas I'm proud of that book. I'm so proud of it. I think it's a great book for like I feel like it's an important book. But I could be wrong. Obviously, I think I am wrong, but I feel like that. I feel strongly about it. I look at that book and I'm proud of every bit of that book. Both books, but I just Raising Healthy Parents, I just dig it. But again, I think it's that experience of like of being able at 50 to turn in a little bit more with age to really connect to the doing of these things and the confidence that comes with that and being liberated from the outside stuff like the external success and things like that in a real way. Not like I don't care about being, but you really do. But at 50, you kind of, at least for me, I really do care less about it. I mean, I'd like to make a better living, I guess, but I actually care less about it. I'm not fretting. If there was anything I could say, I'd love to have had that at 25 when I was full on music. If I had been, could have been more liberated from the worry, you know, of the sales or whatever that was and being in a constant struggle of trying to create work that I was proud of, but then having some energy devoted to promotion that I now can be like, nah, whatever, you know. I don't know. I am in a good place with the stuff that is important, the most important, and I'm clearer now about what that is. I feel like at 50, my bullshit detector is very well honed, way more than it was before. And maybe it's, again, like the years of experience of listening to BS. You know, knowledge with no context, knowledge with no plan, advice without example. You know, I'm like to the point now where I go, if you are not in better shape than I am, I do not want to hear what you have to say about nutrition and fitness. If you are more stressed than I am, I don't want to hear what you have to say about meditation and stress. I don't want to hear it. You could have the best information in the world, but I'm looking at somebody and going, if you cannot deliver what the word that you are saying, if you cannot live that word, I have zero interest in you. And that is absolutely true. This is not meant to say that those people, all the people I hypothetically listed, could know way more than I know. But I'm doing something that they're not able to do. And I want to be inspired by people who are doing better than I'm doing, because I feel like those are the only people that I can learn from. I can only learn from people who I perceive are doing better than I am. You do better than I am, I'm listening. I'm like, what does that woman or man know and do? How are they doing that? Because that's cool. And when I learn that, sometimes I go, that doesn't fit in my life, but super cool for them. But I'm listening. I'm totally going to listen. So anyway, turning 50. I am definitely caught between society's perception of a 50-year-old. I work with kids 30 years younger than I am at the wellness center. And I know that they look at me at 50, but yet I'm kind of like, I'm messing around with them and hanging out with them and talking. And that's a weird thing, because I think that they have a certain perception, but then it's weird because I'm also able to talk about Cardi B with them. So it's, you know, like, I don't know. It's weird. My kids too. So I'm sort of caught between society's perception of what a 50-year-old is, even though that's different from what it was 10 years ago even, but it still is 50. They know that I'm way old enough to be their father. So there's society's perception of that in my own reality. And I think my own struggle these days is to, and probably always, is to keep my own reality at the forefront, to keep society's perception in away as much as possible, and my own reality of truly who I am at 50 and what I'm able to do and am doing in the forefront, so that I don't get swept up in sort of the belief of me being 50 when it really, really actually has no relevance, as you guys know. It's a made up thing. I'm a human being in the world doing the things that I do. I'm able to do some things a lot that I wasn't able to do at 25, but not everything. Like, you know, for instance, the useful stuff like recover from a hangover. Can't do that as well. That's important stuff. Important stuff. I wish I had that tool at 25. Boy, do I miss that. Above all else, I want to always be in a place where I am experiencing. That is become my value, first and foremost, to be experiencing things with my family, with my kids, with my work, with my running, with my food, whatever it is I want to experience. I do want to learn, but always, always married to the action. I want to always be acting. And if I guess at this time of my life, if I had to give up the knowledge to continue to experience, I would choose the latter. I think there's knowledge, obviously, in experience. I think I've learned more from doing and acting than probably ever from a book that I've ever read. It's the again, that's the value of age, is this kind of wisdom that is related integrally to experience. It's a different kind of knowledge, and it's one that you can only get with years, and it's just what it is. And so, you know, thanks for listening to this episode. I figured I would talk about it because I've been thinking about it a lot, and you know, this episode's what Sid thinks. Did you guys know that? And so I'll finish by saying, here is what I think. I think it is time for all of us, and this is no matter what our age is, to continue the process always, always, of beginning.
1, 2, 3, 4. The winter's broken, it's promise again. When I woke up to it, it seemed it was taking a break. Might have passed through lazy of days on cloudless afternoon. When it left me chewing on thoughts as thick as rain. As the winter broke in its promise again. Mm-mm. for good away. The winter's broken, it's promise again. I've weathered worse, but my strength is giving in. Might have passed through lazy of days on plain blue afternoons. Might have sit and watch and change it drifts away. As the winter broke its promise again. As it traveled for good, oh.